Well, good morning. I'm back again, and can't avoid me, I suppose. I was getting ready to do the series, I was thinking, you know, it's kind of a bad thing. I have to follow all these separate classes that have all very good teachers. Rod doing his the outreach ministry and essentially evangelism, witnessing. Brian Lebo and Joe Albright doing their series, and then Pastor doing the parenting class. And now everyone's kind of back together. And then last week we had the children's promotion Sunday, and so I have to follow a bunch of little kids singing, which I know I can't do that very well either. But I will definitely do my best. And I have gotten some encouragement from those of you, either directly or indirectly, saying you've appreciated the past series and you're looking forward to it. So that's good. But that kind of gives you a little bit of confidence. But then I was putting my son Landon to bed last night, and he knew that I was teaching, and Courtney is teaching the teen girls, and he's trying to figure out when that's going to be. And so it's Sunday night, and he said, "Oh, that's only one class, and that's the preschool class, and you can't do that." So he very quickly put me back into place, and definitely going to rely on God for this series as we go through it, and hopefully be able to look at the Constitution, understand what we as a church believe, and more importantly, I think, or just as importantly, understand what our responsibilities are as members, and then for those of us in the auditorium that may not be members of the church, what we believe, so that you can see if you kind of are a good fit, if you are along the same doctrinal stands, and then also what the responsibilities are of membership and why it is definitely an important issue. If you look at this, there are probably two big reasons why I thought about this particular series. The first one is it's been a while since I used this. I'm out of school for a while. The first is for parents. We've seen a lot of studies recently where children go through, they're in church, they get into high school, they graduate, maybe even they've gone to a Christian school, and they graduate from high school, they go to college, or they go into the military, and we lose them. And we don't know, there's a lot of reasons why that is, but I think maybe one of them is, when children come home from church, I think it's our responsibility as parents to be able to discuss with them and to show them from the Bible why we believe what we do. And it's not just we go to church and we hear this, and there's really no reason for it, but there is definitely a reason for it. And in fact, we've had recently in the junior high class, they are in a series on doctrine. The teen class did a series on Baptist distinctives. And so I think particularly for students who are in that age group, it's particularly important that the parents be able to understand and to converse with them and talk about why we believe what we do. And I think that would definitely help in strengthen the faith of both the parents and the children. The second reason kind of goes along with our church mission, which we've kind of delineated recently. Does anyone remember any of the four particular aspects of our mission that Pastor has kind of brought forward to us?
Worship.
Okay. Number one is worship God. Okay. Anything else? Grow. I'll put that third because that's where it goes in the list. He has that little, you know, WCGR. I can't do it like he does. What else? Connect with others. What else? Reach the world. Okay. Now, if you look at these four, which one is the most important? And you may say, well, it's hard to say because they're all important. That's definitely true. But maybe ask it this way. How many of you have heard of the Westminster Catechism? Okay, it's kind of a question and answer thing. Now, obviously, there are particularly some doctrinal issues involved that we're not going to get into. But the very first question is, what is the chief end of man? And anyone know what the response is?
To glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Yeah. Yeah, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So with that in mind, what is our primary mission in life? Looking at these four particular things. Worship God. So where do the other three things fall in? The other three things are ways in which we can better worship God. Now, I think as a church, we do a pretty good job of connecting with others. I think pastor is particularly good at that. I myself am not gifted in that particular area. But the second one is really where I see my particular strength, okay? And you may disagree, and you're free to do that, but that's kind of where I see me fitting in. And so if you think about the series that I've done in the past, apologetics, understanding and defending our faith, growing deeper in the Word. Does anyone remember the last series I did? Attributes of God. We cannot worship God unless we know God. And so what I'm kind of continuing that, and what this series is really designed to do, is to help us grow in our faith and in our understanding of the church, which in turn then I think will help us better understand God, what His truths are, and what our responsibilities are, both to Him and both to the rest of the congregation and to the congregation with which we are serving. Okay, so that's kind of what the overall, how I got to this particular point. And it's something I had done. The deacons as a whole thought it would be good. Pastor was really interested in maybe starting what he referred to as a Westfield class. And so maybe this will be kind of a morph into that at some point. And so we thought it would just be good for the entire church to be reminded of what the truths are, both from doctrinally, from a Christian standpoint, both from a Baptist distinctive standpoint. And kind of the result of all this study is that I've kind of proposed some revisions to the Constitution. Not in doctrine, not in distinctives. Those are pretty standard and essentially truth and as stated in the Bible. But the Constitution as a whole deals with things like congregational governments, business issues, and those types of things that we as a church, I mean, if we say it in the Constitution, we have to do it. Okay, and so basically going back through, it's been a while since it's been revised, and so we'll go back through and kind of, and so going forward, you may expect that at some point in the future, you'll see a proposed revision coming to the congregation, and eventually, I'm going to talk a little bit about how that process would work as we go forward. Okay, so to get us started, the first question I have is, why do you attend Trinity Baptist Church? So that's kind of the general question, which is maybe a little bit too general. So let's start with something more specific and maybe work our way up to it. So the first question is, why are you a Christian? This is a question and answer session. I teach in college, and so this past semester I taught an 8:30 a.m. class, which is my first time doing that in a while. It wasn't very fun. So hopefully it'll be a little bit more interactive than that one, but why are you a Christian? Maybe we could tell you even a little bit more specifically. There's a difference between these two questions, but why do you believe God exists? One Sunday evening, I believe it was, when Pastor was away, I talked about why I am not an atheist. And so kind of delineated my beliefs as to why I think or why I believe God exists. So in your perspective, why are you a Christian? So why have you decided to put your faith in God? Yeah. Okay, so one issue is you have the Bible. And so you can look at the Bible. You can look and see, are there any contradictions in the Bible? Is it true? What it says? Is there, you know, basically that is one thing that we can do. Definitely agree with that. What else? Yeah, Joe. Nature. Okay, and I think that's in Romans. Nature bears witness. Okay, what else? Okay, let's put that under morality, meaning there is an absolute good, and when you go against that good, you are essentially sinning, and so you have to have some way to reconcile the sinful nature to a perfect good. Okay, what else? You're missing kind of a general one, yeah.
To me, it seems like a rational thing to do.
Okay. Some people wouldn't agree with you, but I definitely do. some people are irrational in irrationality. Yeah.
Going back to the way I was raised, and the verse that I claim for my child, I raised them in the way they want to part from it.
Okay, good. Let's put that as experience. I mean, you have a personal experience, and some people say, well, you feel this and I feel this, but Christianity is built on relationships, and if you have a relationship with the Savior, that's an experience that is foundational and that you can definitely apply to.
Well, basically, it's Jesus died on the cross, and you either have to accept or deny the reason why he died.
Yeah.
And I think, I believe he died for me.
I think that is encapsulates all of these different issues. That's really the final thing that we'll come to. Okay, number two. Okay, so you decide you're going to be a Christian. You accept Jesus. You say, God, will you save me? So now what? Why are you a Baptist? And I think, how many of you were raised or went to a different denomination before you came to a Baptist church? Okay, many of you. So why are you not your previous denomination? Why did you become a Baptist? Yeah, Steve.
Well, basically, I've studied the Bible, and things that I believe about the Bible be true on the doctrine that I've studied, and I look what the Baptists believe.
Okay. And I think that's probably the key reason. Anyone else have a different reason? Well, that's fine. I have two of them, so.
The word Baptist, in a sense, has got 1,000 different meanings.
Yes.
And I think that's where the issue comes
from. Well, that's the third question.
Okay.
Okay, so. So there, I mean, you got Southern Baptist, Missionary Baptist, Independent Baptist, which is what we would kind of classify ourselves. There's all kinds of different ones. Yeah. Yeah, and so I think primarily, though, all of these things, what you will find, I think even maybe in Dan's case, the Baptist preacher was preaching the Bible and what the Baptist beliefs were in the Bible. And so it's really, once you decide you're going to be a Christian, whether you become Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopal, Baptist, it's really a foundational understanding of what the Bible says and that's really it. I mean, I can't really add anything to it. What does the Bible say? Now, obviously, everyone comes to different conclusions because we have these different denominations, but at its heart, that's really, you know, why you determine what denomination you're going to be. So then the third question is, why do you select Trinity? So why independent, fundamental, separated, all the different adjectives you want to use, why did you pick Trinity? I mean, there's, you know, Baptist churches in the area, so why Trinity? Okay. Name. And the fact Trinity really does distinguish one of our foundational beliefs, that we do believe in the Trinity. Okay? Okay. Relationships. What else? Yeah, and that brings up, you're about four slides ahead of me. the slide is, basically I'm going to list, I think, four or five beliefs that one of the denominations says, and those beliefs will line up hand in hand with what we as Baptists would believe, but there's a deeper meaning to them, okay? Okay.
I think it's because of the style, I don't know if I want to use the word style of teaching, or the, I don't know how to put it in word, but it's more direct.
Okay. We don't hide it behind anything.
Right,
yeah.
It's black and white. It's not this gray area to make you feel good type of thing.
And that's where most of the denominations, even within denominations, you'll have different factions. And a lot of it is basically, you know, it's a gray area, so let's interpret it in this way versus another way. But the Bible, you know, if you take it as it is pretty black and white. It says what it says. Yeah.
I was looking for a balance of preaching and teaching.
Okay.
So it was really a book, and somebody that was wanting to go up there and actually preach the word, and then, you know, suppose the excitement that is behind God's word in a passionate way, but at the same time, the point of it,
Okay. Yeah, one more. Go ahead.
Well, other churches that we've been to, we were really looking for some church that had a good godly servant of music, and as well as the primacy of preaching, you know, the teaching is important.
Okay. So we have all these things. If you look down through these particular three, this is really the sequence that a person should go through in their growth and kind of finding a church. Now, how do you think most people originally come to the church that they're at? Birth. That's the church my parents went to, so that's the denomination I grew up, that's the denomination I'm going to stay. Okay? Okay, so where they got saved. Someone invited them, they came, they got saved. Someone said, that's a good church. What do you think is one of the big pools today for churches to get families to come in?
Entertainment
could be one. That's a different... You got programs, whether it be for children, whether it be for adults, whatever the case is. So I think a lot of people today haven't really fully studied out what the Scripture believe because they view other things as more important. And that's really what I like about our church is that the Scripture is the foundation, that's what's important, and we're going to build our work around that and try to grow from the inside out as opposed from the outside in, which I think is the way we want to go. Now, if you look at these three particular questions, it really addresses three areas. The first one is doctrine. Okay? So Christian doctrine. What is truth? What does it mean to be a Christian? What are the foundational beliefs of Christianity? And some of those were mentioned in the answers to those questions. The second one is what we would define as distinctives. Now, I don't want to get... Trust me, I'm one for arguments. I mean, I don't mind it. I argue with students in class all the time. The fact is, I usually win. No, I'm just kidding. I guess I have to because I give the final grades. So, but distinctives, I mean, some people refer to these as Baptist doctrine, and you could refer to them that, but just to keep it separate in our understanding, distinctives are what makes a person a Christian. Or sorry, doctrine is what makes a person a Christian. Distinctives is what makes a person a Baptist. The third one is standards. What makes a person particular beliefs that are built on principles. So everyone has their own principles. They select the standards. Now, does everyone in our church have the same set of standards? No. Okay? Different standards of music, different standards of dress, different standards of conduct. Now, does that mean that some of us aren't Baptist or some of us aren't Christian? No. And so what we're going to find is the Constitution addresses all three of these areas. Now, obviously, it gives more preeminence to the doctrine and distinctives because those are the things that are foundational to us as Christians and to us as Baptists. But as a church, we have agreed on some standards. Now, what is the most important? Doctrine and distinctives or standards? Doctrine and distinctives. What do you think splits most churches? Standards, okay? So that issue, which is least important, often gets the most preeminence in terms of maybe preaching, teaching, and in terms of the focus in the congregation. And so what we're going to talk about in the Constitution is, what's the primary issue we have to be concerned with? What do we concentrate on? What are standards? Why do we have to have them? And even if they're different, how can we still have unity? Okay? And so that's kind of the progression that we're going to take in looking at the Constitution is doctrines, distinctives, and standards. And hopefully then, as a result of that, you'll kind of better understand us as a church and then what your role is within the church. Okay? So the Constitution does identify our core beliefs. As I said before, it does also look at governance issues, church discipline, all these types of things that have to be in there, but are not necessarily core beliefs. Okay, and so that's really what we're going to concentrate on, although we'll get to those in a little bit. The second issue that go ahead.
Our Constitution includes our sacred faith, which is our core beliefs.
Yes, and that's what we're going to concentrate on. That's next. Okay, your guys are thinking. I like that. that tells me you're hopefully in tune, and we're definitely going to get to that, and that is doctrine and distinctives. So that's what our statement of faith is. And in fact, that's the next two slides after this one. So, okay. The second issue I want to bring up is that when you join the church, number one, you should have read the Constitution and agreed with it, because when you join the church, you voluntarily submit to the Constitution. In fact, this is the preamble. And what I'll do throughout is kind of take blurbs from the Constitution and show you basically what we have in print and what we've agreed to. If anyone wants the church constitution as it stands right now, send me an email. I can email it to you, ask pastor, ask any of the deacons. We should be able to get it to you pretty quickly. Email's probably the easiest. So if you want to see it to kind of go along with it as we're going through the study, by all means, send me an email and I'll forward that to you. So we, the members, with the desire to serve the Lord, to encourage the spirit of harmony, promote the good order, and demonstrate in the best way our position before the world, order and establish the following articles to which we voluntarily submit. Now, does that mean, does it say, to which we all agree? Well, it says we submit. Now, if we wanted to be as technical as we possibly could be, thinking about doctrines, distinctives, and standards, what should it say? With regard to doctrine, not only do we voluntarily submit, but we agree with this doctrine. Distinctives. We voluntarily submit and we agree, because those are the foundational principles. Standards. Does everyone have the same standard in the church? No. So should it necessarily say that we all agree with those particular standards? That's debatable. And I'm not going to go there. But I do say that, you know, voluntary, whether you agree with the standards that the church has set or not, as members of the church, when you come in the doors, there's a voluntary submission to those particular standards. Now, obviously, the church does not go into your home. The home does not go into the church. God has ordained them as two separate entities that work together just like government. Those are the three entities that God has ordained. They are to work together, but they are not to overstep the bounds of the other. That's how it's set up. That's how God has ordained it. Okay? So, Ralph, our declaration of faith. It's kind of hard to see there, but we have Christian doctrine, which I've highlighted in green, and I have to use a different color next time. Baptist distinctives, which I've highlighted in red. And so this is our declaration of faith. It says, we as Christians maintain the historical belief that the scriptural church is a democracy of believers. That's a Baptist distinctive. That's what we would refer to as a congregational polity. The church is run by the congregation. United and local assembly, sovereign and autonomous in its governmental decisions. Again, more so a Baptist distinctive. Now again, you can argue whether this is doctrine or distinctive, but the way doctrine, in terms of to keep it distinct in how we classified it, is doctrine is necessary for salvation. So does a church have to be separate from the government for a person to get saved? Not necessarily, okay? It is composed only of those who profess to be born again. Okay, that is a doctrine. Baptized by immersion, that is a Baptist distinctive. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that is the foundational doctrine on which we are built. Okay, that is, we're going to look at a set of seven doctrines that really distinguish Christianity. This, by far, is the one key doctrine that really distinguishes Christianity from non-Christianity. Okay, and there are what I'll do throughout is kind of compare what we believe to other major denominations, and you'll find that there are denominations out there that say they are Christian, but they don't believe in the Godhead of Jesus Christ. Okay, so you have to understand what they're saying, and not only what they're saying, but more importantly, what they really mean. Okay. So then we have inspiration of scriptures, Christian doctrine. If you don't believe in the inerrancy and the completeness of Scripture, then by what are you going to base your faith on? So that's definitely a Christian doctrine. The virgin birth and essential deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed blood and bodily resurrection, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the visible return of our Lord in his ultimate reign in the kingdom. Those are Christian doctrines. These things are also kind of reiterated at least some of them in Article 1, which is our name. I think at this point we have like 6 or 7 articles, each dealing with different aspects. So the first one is our name. And you'll see kind of the list here. Again, green designating Christian doctrine, red designating Baptist distinctives. Okay, so it's very clearly listed here. Now, here's a side note. I have 3 or 4 of these throughout just because it's something that I find really interesting and I can't find a better place to fit it in, so this is where it goes. The question is, who determines the beliefs of this church? Okay, it should be based on the Word of God. That should be true, okay? But some Christian or some churches use the same Bible, so why are their beliefs different? Okay, the Holy Spirit should be leading believers to the place where they want to go. What? Yeah.
The reason churches are different is because they interpret words.
Okay, that's true. And who determines the interpretation within a particular church? No. The congregation.
If you're a Baptist church.
Okay, if you're a Baptist. If you're not a Baptist church, then the pastor would. Okay?
The deacon board or the governing board would be also
okay.
Part of that.
Okay. If we want to change the Constitution, okay, if we wanted to add to this list, we believe that to go to heaven, you have to eat peanut butter every day and wear Crocs. Okay? Could we do that?
You get one vote,
okay? Could we do that?
Yes.
We could. Who determines the beliefs of the church? The congregation, okay? If we want to change the Constitution, does anyone know how it works? You make a motion, you bring a revision, you take it to a vote. The Constitution can be changed by a 3/4 majority of a church vote. For members in attendance, assuming there's a quorum of 25% of the membership. So there's all these, you know, different criteria that have to be met. But essentially, 3/4 of the people have to agree. Yeah, Robert.
Is that true for every provision of the Constitution?
The Constitution is accepted as is. So if you want to change it, even a particular piece, it's 3/4.
Whether it's statement of faith,
yes. Yes. Correct. Okay. So we as a church, that's what makes us a Baptist as a distinctive. We have a congregational polity. As a church, we have decided these are the beliefs. Now hopefully we've done it based on the Word of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, and in conjunction with our pastor, okay? But we hire a pastor who believes what we do as a congregation, not the reverse, okay? So this is that's a Baptist distinctive. That is not how it's done in Catholic churches or Presbyterian churches. It's run more by you understand what I'm saying, okay? It's run by a governing organization as opposed to the church running itself, which is how Christ has set it up, okay? So what is the purpose of our study? We want to examine evidence for doctrine, distinctive, and you can kind of add to this list, standards. So if we do have, the standards that we have as a church, why do we have those? Okay? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are commanded to understand these things. As parents, we're commanded to tell them to our children and to teach them, not beyond telling them, we are to teach them. And so they understand why we believe what we do. Compare these beliefs to other mainline religions. So as you go through these doctrines, how do we differentiate ourselves from others? Where are the key differences? And then basically, just to better understand that. And then third, understand the roles of members in the church. So if we are in fact members of this church, or if you're a non-member, what would it mean? What are our responsibilities to the church and to Christ as they're designated in the Constitution, okay? Now, why is this important? Okay, and this kind of gets to, I think I mentioned this when I was talking to Joan. To what religion do these statements belong? We believe the Bible to be the Word of God, okay? We believe in God, the Eternal Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. Sounds pretty good. We believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Jehovah, the promised Messiah, Redeemer, and Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. Sounds good. We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind may be saved. This is Mormons. Okay? So, this sounds really good. I mean, it could be four statements from our Constitution. At least pretty close. So how do they differ? We believe the Bible to be the Word of God, comma, as far as it is translated correctly, which means if you use our translation, it's correct. Okay? We believe in God, the Eternal Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. But these three aren't the same. They don't believe in the Trinity. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Eternal Jehovah. They also believe that Jesus Christ is only the firstborn Son of God, a firstborn spirit children Son of God, of which we are all spirit children as well. So we, in fact, could become God just like Jesus Christ was. We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind may be saved if they also are baptized, join the church, and do works of righteousness. Okay? So what people say or what churches say and what they really believe can be much different. Okay, so understanding these things is definitely important. Example 2. John 1:1 from two different translations. What's the one difference? The addition of a single letter A. This is from Jehovah's Witness. So they also believe that Jesus Christ was the firstborn Son of God, was not the same as God. And so in both of these cases, whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ doesn't really determine whether or not you're going to heaven. So there is a fundamental difference between the doctrine of Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and the doctrines of us as Christians and specifically as Baptists. Another example, what's the difference in these two, also Jehovah's Witness? It's where the comma is placed, okay? Change is a lot. Verily I say unto thee today, so I'm talking to you today, later on you can be in paradise. I say unto thee, today thou shalt be in paradise. So it's a completely different meaning simply by adding a single letter or a single comma, or at least transposing it. That reminds me of the verse in the Bible that talks about the jot and the tittle. And nothing a jot or tittle shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. And so we definitely need to understand these things. So does it really matter? It does. Jesus is the way. I mean, if you don't believe in the Christian doctrine, then you're not going to go to heaven, okay? Because that is the foundation. So you have to believe the doctrines of the Bible, of Jesus Christ, in order to be a Christian. Secondly, and also important, we have to understand what we believe because we're going to come in contact with people who believe differently. And so being able to defend our faith is one of the things that Christ has called us to do, and to do it well. And that's where I think, you know, a lot of times we should be ashamed of ourselves because the people who are in these false religions know a lot more about even our Bible than we do. Okay? So understanding what we believe, why we believe, and being able to do that. And then finally, all of us are going to have to give an account of what we've done, of what we believe, how we've raised our children, all these different things. And so helping us as a church to grow deeper in our faith so that we can worship God better is kind of what I would hope the outcome of this particular lesson to be. Okay, so we're going to do this. It's about 4-week series. I have going to be gone right in the middle for a wedding. And Robert Larimore has agreed to kind of come in. He's going to do a separate thing, and then we'll pick back up. And then Joe Albright is going to come along after me and do a series on spiritual gifts. So once we understand the Constitution and what our roles are as members, Joe's going to help us to understand where we can best take our talents and the gifts that God has given us and fit in and therefore work together as a church and worship God better. Okay? Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you for the day, for the opportunity you've given us to come together. Lord, we ask that anything that I say would be in line with what your word has taught, and that the words that come out of my mouth would be led by you and not by my own flesh. We thank you for all you've done. Help us as we go from this place, bring us back safely and in the mind to serve you and worship you better. We thank you for all you've done.